the parable of the tares. This is the parable in Matthew 13 that we're going to finish looking at today. Let me read it once again. It's a very interesting parable, and one that is a prediction of what was going to happen as far as the spread of Christianity. Verse 24, he presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. But when the wheat sprang up and bore grain, then the tares became evident also. And the slaves of the landowner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' And he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' And the slaves said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, lest while you are gathering up the tares, you may root up the wheat with them. Allow both to grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, first gather up the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Last time we were talking about the fact that the Lord Jesus, as he was describing what was going to happen in the spread of the gospel, pointed out that while the gospel was being spread by those who were true servants of his, while the good word of God was being sown and was being scattered abroad, there also came in the activity of an enemy. This one who comes into the field that belongs to the Lord and sows those who are his followers. And yet they're scattered in amongst the true wheat. And there is such a similarity in appearance, often at the beginning, that it's hard to tell the one from the other. And it isn't until later, until there's been the growth and the development, that then it becomes apparent, this is wheat and this is just weed seed. Now Jesus told this parable to prepare his followers for what was going to happen. We need to be aware of this today. Many people feel that if, someone stands up and preaches that this must be a messenger of God and that the message must be the true word of God, and yet Jesus himself forewarned about false prophets and false teachers. The apostles were very strong in warning about those who would come in and who would pervert the word of God. And we saw that happen very quickly in church history. And remember, we pointed out that when Constantine made the Christian religion legal, and later on when it became the state religion, that there was a tremendous influx of people who were not real believers, but who just went along with Christianity. Everyone was being baptized. It was the popular thing. In fact, it was the way to get ahead in government. If you weren't a Christian, so in quotation marks, you couldn't get a good position. And so immediately you have the churches being filled with people who've been baptized and who say they're Christians, but who've never personally seen their sin and repented, who have never personally accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, whose lives are not really under his authority, who have no real heart for spiritual things, who aren't reading the Word, who aren't praying, who are indifferent to all these things, and yet who say, "We are Christians." And that state of confusion has continued until today. It's very sad, but it's the reality we have to face. If you really know and love the Lord, this is a reality you have to face in life. What are we who are true believers, who love the Lord, what are we to do? Now, when his servants came to him, Jesus said, don't forcibly try to remove them. In other words, at times there have been areas where there's been persecution of those who were not, quote, Christians. there was the Spanish Inquisition. And there have been other movements where there's been persecution of those who are not true Christians. Now the Lord said, no, leave them alone. Don't try to uproot them. In other words, don't persecute them. Don't attack them. They're deceived. They're following Satan. Leave them alone. The time is coming, he says, in the end of the age when the angels will separate and when there will be the harvest. And then the whole thing will be straightened out. But for the present, what is the attitude that the true believer should have? I think, first of all, just reading the parable would remind us, well, we need to not be naive, not be simple, and think that all who belong to church are real Christians. We should not believe that all who are clergymen are really children of God. And we should not believe that every time we hear a message, that it's necessarily a message from the Word of God that is true. The Bible speaks of false apostles. It speaks of a false gospel. And then it speaks of these who are false believers. They're not real. They're not genuine. And so we have to be discerning, not be naive. Just because someone says, I belong to church, does not mean he's really one of God's children. And I think what can we, as a local fellowship of Christians, what can we do? Well, I think the scripture would make very plain that the local body of Christians are responsible to see the true word of God is preached. And we're responsible to see that people do not identify with us and we do not take them in as children of God, as being really saved, unless they know the gospel, and at least as far as we can tell, have turned to the Lord Jesus and trusted him. No one is a true believer simply because of baptism. And no one is a true child of God simply because of joining the church. And so, we have to be skeptical in this area. And we have to realize there's a lot of confusion. And there are more people who say they are Christians who are not Christians, genuine, than there are that are real. And that's the situation of the world in which we live. So as far as we're concerned, you can't go out and you can't change the whole world picture. You can't, so to speak, clean up all of Christendom and make it pure and fervent like it was in the apostolic days. But I think as far as your own local fellowship is concerned, you can say, well, we want to preach the true word of God. We want to see people genuinely brought to the Lord Jesus. And we are going to not encourage false professions. We want reality. We want people who really know and love the Lord. And then there is the matter of waiting for the end. The end is going to show very clearly those that are real and those that are not. And the Lord Jesus spoke some very strong words. He spoke of how the angels will go forth. He says, the Son of Man will send forth his angels. They will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness. He's speaking here of the tares. And he says, they will cast them into the furnace of fire. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There is a judgment coming. This situation is not going to go on forever. The time is coming when the harvest will take place, when there will be the separation, when the Lord Jesus will send forth his angels, and those who are true believers will go to be with the Lord. And those that are not will be made evident. And that day is going to be a day of terrible judgment. You know, Christ here speaks of the furnace of fire. He speaks of the weeping and gnashing of teeth. And if you have never really come to know the Lord Jesus, if you've simply gone through religious motions, if all you can say is, well, I was baptized as a baby and I've always gone to church, if that's the extent of your Christianity, you need to be concerned. If all you can say is, well, I joined the church and we go at Christmas and Easter and we try to live a fairly good life, and I believe in doing unto others as you'd have them do unto you. If this is all your Christianity is, your soul is in danger of eternal judgment. And this is what Jesus is saying. Maybe you're deceived. Maybe you think you really are a true Christian. And maybe where you've gone or what you've heard has confused you. I talked to a man recently who became a true Christian 3 years ago, and he grew up in a church. He was baptized as a baby, and he grew up, and you know, they went fairly regularly. They did what the church told them to do, and yet he didn't know his sins were forgiven. He didn't know the true gospel. He wasn't really saved until 3 years ago, when as a young man of, I suppose, around 27 or 28, he heard the gospel through a man he was working with. And this man really knows and loves the Lord, and he shared with this man, who was religious, but not a believer, he shared with him the gospel that God sent his Son and that Christ on the cross died to pay for all sin, and that the offer of salvation, the offer of God's grace, was open to all, and that he could be saved by just turning as a lost sinner and trusting Christ. And it wasn't his baptism. It wasn't belonging to church. And it wasn't keeping certain religious holy days or anything like that that would save him or help him get saved or keep him saved, but that it was Christ and Christ alone. And that man became a true believer. And he left the particular church he was in. They hadn't taught him the way. They just kept him in confusion. And he left. And he's concerned to really follow the Lord Jesus. And maybe you've been in a state of confusion. Satan loves to confuse. And he's been doing that now for all these years. He loves to confuse. He loves to befog the issue. He loves to make people think they're all right by simply joining church and going through the motions. Don't be deceived. Be sure you have Christ.